So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to actually be unpacking a bit around identity. And some of you might remember more than a year ago now, we wrote a new vision, mission, and value statement. It was a really important time for our church. We published this thing together. We voted to approve it. And if you go down on our vision statement, which if you haven't seen it, I'd be happy to make it available to you. We have a line in there that says this: we believe, that is, New City Covenant Church believes, that Jesus is good for the world. Somebody should say amen to that, right? Especially on a cloudy, sunny, non-sunny day. Jesus is good for the world, and that through the call of Christ, humanity finds identity, purpose, and belonging. This is a part of our vision statement, that we cling to who we are in Christ, that Jesus is good for the world, but that he provides for us an identity. And so we start today a three-week series that we are calling Formed. We're talking about the different things that form us. Today, we're going to sort of introduce this conversation around identity. I'm sure it's a conversation you've had before, so add it to the resource list that's forming you, right? Next Sunday, we're going to dip our toes into suffering. And we're going to talk about the challenges of the world and how suffering forms our identity. And then the third week, Pastor Remy's actually going to be preaching with us, and he's going to talk about how our identity impacts our calling. And so this is sort of the nature of our three-week rhythm, and I hope it's valuable to you. And to start today, I actually have a very old-school object lesson for you. Okay, everybody smile at me so I know that you're with me right now, okay? This is the moment, okay? Now, some of you grew up in the church. Some of you grew up going to youth ministry in the churches. Some of you didn't, and that's okay. But this is old-school object lesson. In fact, if you remember, there was a preacher one time, an author, he's still out there doing his thing, named Francis Chan. And Francis Chan wrote this, I think he was the first one I saw ever do this object lesson. I know the kids aren't in here today, but this is for the adults too, right? And anybody who's in here. So what I have here is I have, as you can see, a rope. Now this rope is 200 feet long. I was thinking about stretching it all the way down the back stairs so that when you walked in today, you'd be like, somebody left the rope out, right? But I thought, no, I'll just do this because I couldn't get it untwined in time. But let's just pretend for a moment that this rope, old school object lesson, goes on for eternity. And that this rope right here represents your life, your eternal life. You follow me so far, right? So this rope goes on and on and on. And as people of the book, as people who believe in what Scripture says, we know that there is an eternity waiting for us. And that this rope represents your life and the eternity that it's based on, that it will live, the trajectory of your life, okay? And what I've done is I've taken some really fancy red duct tape, okay? And I've typed it, just kind of put it on the end of this rope. And what this little, let's just say, inch and a half to maybe 2-inch space represents is your time here on earth. This little space. In comparison to the whole of eternity, what this piece of tape represents, your time here on earth. And the crazy and interesting thing about humanity, our disposition, the way that we are wired, is that we base our identity almost solely on this space instead of the scope of eternity that waits for us. We are hardwired to do this, right? We put in all the labels. We put in all the temporary thinking, and that's how we often base our identity, based on this small time frame in comparison to eternity. Now, I'm going to leave this out here, and maybe we'll come back to it in a minute. Now, thank you, Jeff, for reading our scripture. In John chapter 25, Jesus says something that is very hard for us to hear, and yet extremely important, particularly when you're talking about your identity. It says in John chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus says, "Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Well, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And what Jesus is talking about is this space represented by the red tape, this temporary time that if we love this temporary life that we have here, then we'll lose our lives. But if we have this eternal perspective, that is when we will have the life that Jesus calls us to. And it's so interesting that we completely base our lives on the temporary space rather than the eternal space. And so Jesus says we have to lose our lives. We have to lose our identity that is built around this temporary perspective. And the ultimate question, and by the way, there's a note sheet in the back. If some of you are taking notes today, this is one of the questions on your note sheet. The ultimate question is, what are we talking about here? What is the self that you have to lose? And what is the self that we are called to find? When Jesus says you've got to lose your life, what is the self that you have to lose? And what is the self you have to find? This is the ultimate identity question. Now, there was a gentleman named Thomas Merton who was actually a monk from Kentucky. Kentucky has lots of monks, right? And Thomas Merton, who passed away in 1968, he actually talked about this dynamic quite a bit, this identity dynamic quite a bit. He said, let's give Christians a different language. He said, let's not call Christians to understand the difference between their body and their spiritual self. He said, let's give them different language to use for this. And he called it the difference between the false self and the true self. And what Thomas Merton says is that we are called to let the false self be what dies. In other words, the false self is the self that we don't need anyway. But we are all so attached to the false self, to the temporary thinking. And let me explain that a little bit. I think it's important in this conversation around identity to describe what Thomas Merton said was the false self, because it's the self that we are so tempted to live into. The false self is, first of all, who we think we are. It's who we think we are. But thinking something doesn't actually make it true. But it's who we think we are. And because we've been thinking it for so long, some of us have been wrapped up into this false self for so long that we tend to get incredibly attached to it. These different identity markers that we think about ourselves become so entrenched in our souls that it's difficult to let go. And the false self isn't necessarily your bad self. That's not the point. It just isn't real. These aren't real things. This isn't who you were created to be. And so what creates the false self? Let me just name a few. And if you're taking notes, you can write some of these down. The false self is impacted by our culture, the culture that you were born into, the culture that you were raised around. Your religion greatly impacts the false self. Your family of origin, the narratives you learn from your family, they create a nature of falseness in our lives. Our nationality is a part of our false self. Our gender is a part of our false self. Our education, our occupation, the looks that we have, whether we perceive ourselves to be handsome, beautiful, or not, right? That creates and feeds the narrative around the false self. Your intelligence creates a narrative around the false self. We wrap ourselves into these labels, and that's all they are. They're labels. Your false self, here is the key line. Your false self will die someday when you die. That's how you know it's false. Because the day that you cease to be living on this earth is the day that all those labels pass away. So why not die ahead of time is what Jesus is saying in John chapter 12, verse 25. We get so attached to all these things that are going to die someday. These labels that people think they are all about it. And that's what they fight for, is these labels. We live into the temporary rather than the eternal. And these labels, as you've seen, divide us. They wreck our identity. They divide us from people. And it causes havoc and chaos in our lives. And if the false self is all we have, then we literally have nothing. So, what is the true self then? Richard Rohr writes a lot about this, and I know a lot of you love to read and to talk through Richard Rohr's material. He loves to write about this and talk about this, and Richard Rohr uses a very kind of interesting phrase. He says the true self is the naked self, the naked self. Now, I'll move beyond that quickly before we get too uncomfortable, right? We don't like talking about that in church, but it's the you before you put on any of these labels that we take way too seriously, he says. It's us at a fundamental level. It is us as a child of God. That is the true self, the self that lives on for eternity. The Apostle Paul, throughout the New Testament, in different places, uses a very interesting statement. And this, again, is on your note sheet. Paul says that the true self is who we are, listen to this, hidden with Christ in God. It's who you are the moment of your conception. Eastern religions also talk about this, and they say that the true face is who you were before you were born, before you put on any of the labels, before you were born into being an American or an African, before you were born into a nationality, a perspective, before you were born into some sort of political party, right? Any label that you can think of before that is the true self. I mean, I would love to be a Minnesota Timberwolves fan throughout eternity, but that is probably not going to go with me throughout eternity. I would kind of like it because I don't know when they're going to win a championship. It may be after I'm gone. But there's nothing that we can do to create the true self. This is super important because the true self exists the day that we were conceived. We are a child of God in that moment, and that is the true self. Our job is to fall back into it, is to find it, is to do the hard work, the introspective work, to find the true self. And so Jesus says this important phrase in John chapter 12. He says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And the simple question I have for you today is a very simple question for all of us to wrestle with, is have you discovered the true self yet? Now, I know a lot of you have been living for Jesus for a very long time. Just because we're Christians, we've been a part of the church, we've gone through the life's different journeys, it doesn't necessarily mean that we found the true self. It doesn't even necessarily mean that we've done the hard work to break away the labels and to live into the true self that God has called us to. And if we struggle with it, we're not alone. Welcome to the world that completely defines themselves by that little red piece of tape. We can actually solve a lot of our identity issues if we get back to the true self, the anchored self, the God self in us, the Christ self. And there we will be all exactly the same. There's no point in comparing or competing. I am who I am because of who Christ says I am, not because of some label that I earn. So how do we live our lives that are focused on the true self? The self that every day can't get over the grace of God in the context of eternity. And there are probably many implications, but there's one implication that I want to point out today, one thing that I want to challenge you to carry with you this week, and it is this. Don't let the urgent take priority over what's essential. Don't let the urgent take priority over what's essential. When we live into the false self, we tend to live into the urgent. Everything is so chaotic and urgent, and we let that take the priority in our lives rather than the essential, the things that really matter, the eternal perspective. The false self begs us to live in the urgent. It begs us to lose our perspective on God's work in the world. The true self lives in the space of eternal thinking. It's amazing how it changes our identity. I want to give you three examples and see if you can resonate with any of these. And as I give you these examples of what it looks like to not live into the urgent, but live with what's essential, I want you to think about some examples in your own life. What are some areas in your life that God may be calling you to give over the false self to? Three examples that maybe you'll resonate with. The first one is this. This past week, my wife Marie and I, were having a longer discussion around our finances, like a lot of families tend to do, like a lot of people tend to do. It's tax season, right? Money's kind of an interesting thing for all of us. And so we were thinking about our retirement, and we were looking closely at our retirement accounts and talking to our financial advisor, a good covenant man named Eric Carlson. Some of you might know him, right? These are good people, and we're thinking about our future with our finances. And I will tell you, your pastor, confession time, that I have this anxiety to try to control my financial future. I want to do all that I can to be someone who has an RV in retirement and rides off into the sunset when I'm 60, whatever the age that is, right? And there's this dynamic and conversation that we were having, and I found myself trying to control this narrative. And I was having this conviction, knowing that I'd be preaching on this idea of dying to self, that, you know what, maybe my anxiety around this control is misguided. Because it's not that saving money for retirement is the problem. It's not that trying to set your family up for a good future is the problem. Don't hear that. The problem is when your identity becomes wrapped up into the dollar, into the security that the dollar you think can provide, that's where we get misguided. We forget all the time that every penny we've been given is a gift from God, that we are called to be stewards of this incredible wealth that we have, and that it is not to go to our glory, but to the glory of God. And I needed that reminder this week, and maybe you do too. Second example is probably the most low-hanging fruit that I can name. It's in the political realm, right? Oh, great. You're going to talk politics. Well, our whole world is shaped by politics right now, right? And the false self puts on the label of Republican or Democrat or independent, whatever it is that you might identify in, and then we learn to divide ourselves by those labels. And that is temporary thinking. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a passion or a conviction politically. I would ask you to prayerfully consider how God would call you to vote. That's very important. But when our identity is wrapped into the political narrative of the chaos of this world, we are living in the urgent and not in the essential. Could you ever use the phrase that Scripture calls God's people to bring a peace that passes all understanding? Could you ever use that phrase in today's political narrative? The urgent news cycle of Trump this, Biden that, it's unbelievable. And friends, if we get caught up in it, it's almost as if we're living into the false self and we lose our witness. We lose the perspective of eternity that God calls us to. So my simple encouragement is not to, you should be involved. My encouragement is not to step back, and we're not trying to get away from the world. That's not the point. But when your identity is wrapped up in those things, it can be living into the false self. I would encourage you to walk with a peace that passes understanding in our political conversations this year. Third example, and I'll say this one briefly because this is powerful. We've got some dear friends down in the Kansas City area, a church where we used to serve. And I heard a story this week of someone in their family who at a very young age passed away from cancer this week. And so they're struggling as a family, and dealing with all the emotions of that. But a story got back to me about this young man who knew he was dying of cancer, was fighting it, was trying to make it through, and he came to the last hours of his life. I don't know exactly how old he was, but he had a deep love for Jesus. And he knew what the next hours would bring in his life, that he would be in glory with the Lord. And in the hospital room walks his grandfather. And he and his grandfather had a great relationship, but his grandfather, from what I've been told, did not have a relationship with Jesus. And in fact, had pushed against the church, had pushed against anybody who had that kind of personal faith. And this young man, who was about to die, undoubtedly suffering, filled with pain, and loved seeing his grandfather, took that moment, and instead of dealing in the moment of urgency of his pain, took the moment to think of the essential, the eternal, and he asked his grandfather if he would consider giving his life to Jesus. And my friend told me that that grandfather on that day gave his life to Christ. It's an amazing story, and I wonder, would I have that kind of strength, that kind of perspective to do the same? When you have an identity that is shaped in the eternal, the essential, it removes our desire to live into the false self, the urgent, the short moments. Now, I have two applications I want to give you before we end our sermon and we get to go to the table today and celebrate communion, the place of ultimate identity, right? But I have two applications as we sort of journey together on trying to live into the true self and reject the false self, reject the labels, live with eternity in mind. Two applications that I hope are challenging for you, and then we'll be done. The first application is this. I want to encourage you, my dear friends, that I want to hold each other accountable to this, that we spend time on practices that matter for eternity. Spend time doing things that matter for eternity. I got to confess something to you. I love to golf, right? Some of you know this. I love to golf, but I don't know that that's something that I'll be doing in eternity. Maybe, hopefully, there's this beautiful, you know, golf course that God lets us get to, but that's not necessarily the thing that we'll always be doing in heaven, right? There are so many significant things that Scripture calls us to that matter for our essential eternal life, a life of prayer, a life that spends time with the Lord in prayer, lifting up those things in our hearts, our children, our youth, our church, one another, our marriages, our relationships, our family, whatever it is that God is calling you to pray for, spend time in prayer. Some of you love to journal. Some of you are like me and can't stand it. But journaling and doing the hard work in the inner soul is what's necessary when we think about the true self, the eternal self. Maybe this is a season where you start journaling because you're called to live into this true self. Maybe God's calling you to a spiritual pilgrimage or to some sort of mission that you never thought God would call you to. Whatever it is, do things that matter for eternity. That's the first application. And the second application is something that you won't be surprised to hear me say, but I think it's so important. I would love to challenge us as a church community, New City Covenant Church, this wonderful group of faithful people, that this idea of living into the true self is one of the hallmarks of our community. That when people walk into this place, they don't see us embracing the labels, the temporary living, that they see us embracing that which is better, the true self that God calls us to, that actually we're fine with imperfection because we're all on a journey to live for Jesus. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's no expectation for perfection here. There's actually a desire to live into the true self together. And I just got to tell you, we have over 50% of our adults in our church that are plugged into a small group. And while it takes time, it never happens right away, those small groups are where people share their lives together at a deeper level in such a way that it helps you get to the true self. It helps you chip away those labels that sometimes we base our identity in. Maybe this is a season for you to get involved in a small group here. If that's the case, I'd love to talk to you about it. I'd love to even start a new group that you could be a part of, fresh from the beginning. I think that would be so awesome. But the goal here is as a church that we're leaning into our true self. And I'll just close with this. I love this old school rope mentality. And I need you to help remind me of what we're called to, that this is not the end. This is not eternal. And there is so many great things that God has called us to that impact our eternity based on this short timeline. But as a church, as a community of Jesus followers, we get the opportunity to have the greatest perspective ever. And I pray that God would bless you on that journey as you live into the true self. And I pray that God would bless our church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word that is so good. These words from Jesus that he said 2,000 years ago that still impact us in so many ways today. God, I will be honest with you. It is really hard to let the labels go. It is really difficult to let those things go that feed our ego so easily, that we've held on to maybe since we were 4 or 5 or 6 years old, things we inherited from our families, things that we learned through suffering when we were younger or maybe even more recently. It's really tough to let those things go. But in the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, would you point out those things in our lives that we are called to die to get rid of in our lives? And would you point very clearly the path forward as we live into the true self? What are those things in our lives, God, that we need to start living for that make a difference in this world and in the next? What sort of peace have you called us to when everyone is so wrapped up in identity and arguing over these things? What sort of peace have you called us to as we are defined by you, God? Thank you for your word. It is so good for us. And I pray that these words
would enrich our souls. We pray these things in your name.